Hey gang, last night I was invited on Farron Shoaf's show on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, called The Alternative Media. You might remember that earlier this year I guest hosted or substitute hosted that show for 3 months. Anyway, last night, Saturday, October 8th, 2016, he invited me on the show to talk about some important issues. I think you'll enjoy listening to it.
All right, we're going to go ahead and be joined by Patrick. I did not know he was there. Patrick, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm sorry I didn't call in earlier.
Well, I'm glad to have you join me. I'm just running down. I don't know if you've seen this story. I would love to have your input, but they have created a virtual reality Auschwitz concentration camp to continue prosecuting men in their 80s or 90s that may have worked there. Were you aware of this?
No, but could it really be a surprise? They prosecuted some, 89-year-old grandmother simply because she thinks, I don't know, she said something in meek defense of Hitler. It wasn't even such a big deal. And she's been put in prison for, 3 months? And when you're 89 years old, 3 months is a pretty long time. There's hardly anybody left they can go after, so I guess they have to invent this virtual world where they can – maybe they'll be able to go after Nazis beyond the grave. It's all part of this whole effort to replace history with the Holocaust. We can't have history. I had a niece who said – you know, she went through public schools and said she didn't know there was anything to history besides the Holocaust and slavery. So it's all part of that.
Well, it is. I've been covering this story now, I don't know how long. Jonathan Bonehill in Great Britain, he got 3.5 years in prison for memes on social media. But this situation here where they're prosecuting these elderly gentlemen in their 80s, and some in their 90s, and here we're 71 years past the war, and it is, I mean, never in the history, you correct me if I'm wrong, you'd know better than that, in the history of warfare, has there ever been a people so demonized for three-quarters of a century still being tried for war crimes? I mean, could you imagine this happening in any other scenario than this with Germany? I mean, I think it's one of my most pet peeves when I come across this story. And here it is again. And oddly enough, Patrick, I had this conversation. A gentleman brought this up earlier this week. I couldn't believe he knew about this story. And he was condoning it. He was condoning that we've still got to find all of these people that committed these war crimes. It is just an insight into the effect of the propaganda from the TV from birth that you have been brainwashed to completely misunderstand the events of World War II.
You know, when you really think about it, you look at the power that the Jews have in order to be able to do this, in order to be able to promote their version of history and completely extinguish from the public memory anything about the Holodomor, the forced starvation in the Ukraine following the Bolshevik Revolution, which itself was an extremely bloody event. I mean, you had massive numbers of people dying, and these were in the years leading up to World War II. When you think of the ruthlessness with which the Jews are pursuing these last elderly people who in any conceivable way could be associated with their sacred Holocaust, all it really does is it kind of validates the fears that the Germans and, you know, that the Germans and other Europeans had regarding Jewish power, had regarding the violence and ruthlessness of Jewish power. They had seen it. It was current events for them. It was very recent memory. You think of Jewish Bolshevik takeovers in Hungary and in Bavaria in the aftermath of World War I. These events, these revolutions in Eastern Europe, this would be as recent as a lot. This would be more recent than the first Gulf War is to us. You're talking about only a gap of 20 years, and what happened in the intervening 20 years? You had the severe repression in Soviet Russia, and of course, what Hitler was talking about was Judeo-Bolshevism. And I had a very interesting discussion with Andrew Joyce on my YouTube podcast, which is kind of the successor to the conversations I had when I was filling in for you earlier this year, with Andrew Joyce, and he was calling cultural Marxism of today basically the successor to the Judeo-Bolshevism of the first part of the century.
And we'll talk about it on the other side. You're listening to The Alternative Media with Farron, joined by Patrick Slattery, back in moments. And we're back on The Alternative Media. Farron in the studio saying, I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist. I'm joined tonight by Patrick Slattery, and I wanted to give you the opportunity to go ahead and finish your thought, Patrick. I know the break kind of interrupted your train of thought on your interview with Joyce.
Well, he was just drawing the line, kind of, you could just see a straight chronology from the ruthlessness of Judeo-Bolshevism as it was described by not just Hitler, but by many people in the 1920s and 1930s. Judeo-Bolshevism, the Russian Revolution, the largely Jewish group that took over Russia in the Russian Revolution, and also for a time took over parts of other countries, took over Bavaria, Saxony, and Hungary. And that their values, I mean, you think of their attack on Christianity, their basically banning of religion, their attack on marriage, and then you compare that to what's going on today in what many people call cultural Marxism, which cultural Marxism is a completely Jewish enterprise, the promotion of pornography and homosexuality. And you see the resulting plummeting in marriage rates, the skyrocketing of illegitimacy rates, homosexuality and all of these things, and plus much more. You know, you can think of immigration, you can think of black crime rates and everything. All of these things that are directly or indirectly being promoted by this Jewish elite that's taken us over. We had a conversation about it's on my YouTube channel, Patrick Slattery. I have occasional interviews with people and make them available that way. So that's completing my thought.
Go ahead, Patrick.
Well, I was just going to say I've been really rustled by what's gone on the past, 24 hours or so regarding this business about a conversation that Donald Trump had. And now I just posted on davidduke.com an article about it, but the idea that now you have this all these Republicans demanding or suggesting, some demanding, that the head of their ticket drop out of the presidential race, basically concede the race to Hillary Clinton because he had said that he likes kissing women and he enjoys the perks that come with being a celebrity. You can just walk up to women and kiss them and they will let you. That's the worst thing that's ever happened in the world. They're making this into it's been described as the grabocost, because he had mentioned grabbing a part of the anatomy. So this is a grabocost. This is the worst thing that's ever happened. We've never had somebody just drop out of a presidential race. And the idea that this would be it, you think not only of everything that, you know, Bill Clinton did with Monica under the table and all these women who have accused him of rape and Hillary going after the women who accused him of rape and molestation, Hillary going after him, not just that. You just think of Hillary as such a horrible person. I put these videos in the article, just one example of the evil of Hillary Clinton, cackling at the death of Muammar Gaddafi, which she caused. And then the next video showing her actually being informed of this. Who informed her of it? Huma Aberdeen, her aide of the past 20 years. It's an open secret that they're lesbian lovers. They stay in the same hotel often when she's traveling around. Now, I guess with Hillary, it would be a plausible excuse that maybe Hillary might drop dead suddenly and she needs somebody to kind of babysit her pulse. But, you know, Huma Aberdeen, she started also working as a White House intern in 1996 at the age of 20, and that's when she hooked up with Hillary. So you think of Hillary, who's about 30 years older. I mean, how appropriate is it for Hillary living in the White House and then all of a sudden you know, taking advantage of her position of power with this young woman. I'm not sure what Trump's going to do tomorrow at the debate, but there are so many ways where he could turn this around and hit it out of the park. And I really hope he does, because the Jewish media is just, they've got all the knives out on Trump. And really, they're just, I mean, I thought they were running a victory lap before Trump showed up. It's not that Trump is the ultimate savior, but he's the person who's got his finger in the dike. And without Trump, that wall's going to burst, and we're just going to have a flood of immigration. We're going to have a flood of Black Lives Matter terrorism. We're going to very possibly have a nuclear war with Russia for the Jews.
Hold on to that thought. We're coming up on a break. You're listening to The Alternative Media with Farron, joined by Patrick Slattery. Back in moments. We're back on The Alternative Media, and we were discussing, Patrick, a little bit about what the media has termed these lewd comments by Donald Trump, and there's a couple of things I wanted to say, and I wanted to get your perspective. One is that is there anything that the Republican Party won't run the white flag up for these days? I wonder if Donald Trump doesn't win, if the Republican Party, because I for one will not be registered a Republican if Donald Trump doesn't win. I couldn't care less what happens to the Republican Party the way they've treated him. But the thing I wanted to say, and I run down a little bit of this in the first hour, but if you look at the Clintons long term, I mean, we have seen them loot the White House in 2001 when they left office. You know, they took the W's off the keyboards. They stole a bunch of stuff. We had Vince Foster's death. We've had Filegate. We've had Servergate. We've had Whitewater. We had Travelgate. We had Chinagate. Now, these are things that a lot, you know, some people's lost through the memory hole. And then, of course, we've had the Clinton Foundation scandals, and we've had Benghazi. Hillary is actually responsible for literally millions of deaths. And here, Donald Trump, he's not killed anyone. He makes some comments that, yeah, to a lot of people, they maybe would be, would consider them vulgar or whatever, but in men being men, locker room talk, whatever, I'm not condoning them, but it is so one-sided. And for the Republicans, and I was looking at some of the tweets, some of the congressmen that's come out, you know, we're not going to vote for Donald Trump, he should resign, blah, blah, blah. The media bias and the hypocrisy is really completely off of the chart with this incident, as so many with Donald Trump. All we can hope is that the people in America, for maybe the first time in their lives, are connecting the dots. They are seeing, they're getting such a front row seat at this hypocrisy that they can no longer sit back and feel like they have any kind of true objectivity in the mainstream media. Your thoughts, Patrick?
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And, you know, I don't even want to say I don't condone Donald Trump's remark. And that's not because I do condone them, but it's just that I know that practically every man I know has said or thought, you know, more or less the same type of thing at some point. Some people like Clinton have not just thought or said those things, but they've gone way beyond. And, you know, Clinton is basically a serial rapist. He's used his power in the worst possible ways. And there's nothing that Trump has said so far that would indicate anything like that. But, you know, given everything you just said about the Clintons, what they've done in the past, and then the precariousness of our situation, where really our existence as a people, as a nation, as even a state, a constitutional entity, everything is at stake. And to think that even if Donald Trump was another Bill Clinton in terms of his relations with women, am I going to just say, oh, well, I guess we'll just have to have World War III with Russia? Or we just have to accept being overrun by all these immigrants. You know, we can't have somebody like that in the White House. Anybody who is thinking like that, anybody who says something like that, has to have some, you know, I'm not promoting violence, but really has to have some sense knocked into them. That is the most retarded thing I've ever heard. Why should I care anything about what Donald Trump said in, you know, in this kind of private conversation with everything at stake?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I, while I had you on, I wanted to be sure and cover this. You had wrote an excellent article. We were just a couple of weeks ago, Black Lives Matter was trying to take down the Andrew Jackson statue there in New Orleans. Dr. David Duke went down to protect it, took part in the protest, and I had the videos up on my website. Hats off to him. A lot of courage, a lot of courage. But you had written an excellent article. It's one of you've wrote a lot of articles and a lot of great articles, but to me personally, it was one of my favorite because you made a point that I thought was so important, and that is when you concede defeat when you allow the enemy or your opposition, maybe for a better word, to go and take down your monuments, such as this Andrew Jackson. We've seen, you know, George Washington taken off of schools. I've ran down a whole big list. But I mean, I wanted to mention that and mention that article because you had went down through a whole lot, Iraq, different places throughout recent history. But this is actually what we are witness to, and I don't know if people have really drawn that same perspective that you had in the article. But it is 100%. That is the perspective to have because that is exactly what's happening.
Right, and. You know, it's not a matter of whether you personally want to put Andrew Jackson or anyone else on a pedestal. That's not really the issue. The issue is that we're in the midst of having all of the, our past presidents, our leaders, or, you know, war heroes or whatever. They're being taken down and replaced. You know, who's replacing Andrew Jackson on the $20 bill? Harriet Tubman, who is she? Somebody that we really need to have on the $20 bill? And who are they studying in schools? I mean, you're not hearing much about Thomas Jefferson or George Washington in schools anymore. You're hearing about Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks and even Jackie Robinson. He gets more page space than practically anybody who we would have studied it when we were children. So it's this complete replacement of our previous historical and cultural icons with this new set. And, you know, if our children are studying Rosa Parks, our grandchildren are going to be, worshiping statues of Trayvon Martin and Michael Brown. That's the direction it's going in. So it's conceding defeat. And so it's not even a matter of, you know, you can look at Jackson or Jefferson or Abraham Lincoln. You can look at these people and say, well, I disagree with what they said about this. But when you have this wholesale replacement of our previous cultural icons with this new, you know, kosher Zionist approved set who all have some sort of connection to shaming whites. Rosa Parks or Harriet Tubman, it's all to drive in slavery, the idea that whites are uniquely evil because only we had slavery. You had human history all these years, and it just was whites who thought of slavery. I mean, we're uniquely evil. We're the only people who ever did anything. That's the message that's getting across. And, of course, slavery and war and genocide has been part of the human experience from before history. It's from time immemorial. So I thank you for appreciating that article, and I see that you took it in the sense that I meant it.
I wanted to mention too. Anyone out there, if you're listening and you've never done this, just go to Google and then Google American Inventors. Google American Inventors, and 10 will come up, and only one will be white, Thomas Edison. All the rest are black. So I mean, we get this, and that's the pictures that they put up. I mean, we get this. So many different ways. It's just amazing. Just do that. If you need a little bit of a laugh, just check that out sometime. I just done it right now to make sure it still worked that way, and it does. I wanted to do this before we run out of time this hour. I wanted to talk a little bit about Dr. Duke's campaign, and I urge everyone to go to DukeForSenate.com, donate. Dr. Duke is really in a fight. You know, they are trying their darn level best to keep him out of the out of the debates, and I wanted to tell you, Patrick, if they do keep him out of the debates, I hope that he's able to maybe put something on at the same time streaming it live and bypass the mainstream media. But I mean, we really have an opportunity here to get a voice into the Senate that is going to be the voice of the people, and And I just, I urge people to donate. But this is really, really, really important. If you felt like you've never had a voice or you've never had someone that would really stand up for you, we've got that in Dr. Duke right now. And November 8th is approaching. Your thoughts, Doctor?
Well, they are trying to keep him out of the debates by hook and crook. He, you know, typically when it was the Republican debates where they had all these 17 people running last year, they used polling numbers. Well, what they've done in Louisiana is what the Republicans were doing last year was they were looking at all the major polls and saying an average, or if you get this much in so many different polls, then you're qualified for the top debate. And if you don't qualify for the top debate, then there's a second tier debate. But what they're doing in Louisiana is they're making the main criterion how much money do you raise? And they had made it, at first it was $200,000, and it looks like Dr. Duke's going to hit that. So they raised it to like $250,000, but it looks like Dr. Duke could hit that. So now they've raised it to $1 million. So it means basically the only people who could be on the debate would be those with getting the mega shekels from the Jewish contributors. Now, one thing is, of course, if Dr. Duke's not in the debates, not really very many people are going to watch them. Having him in the debates would make it very well watched, and it would be great. It would be great for him to get that kind of exposure, and to be able to juxtapose his common sense, reality based positions with their kosher Zionist approved nonsense that cannot withstand the exposure to the kryptonite of truth. So that's why it's very important. If anybody can support David Duke, you know, you can send contributions to via his website, dukeforsenate.com, or indirectly through davidduke.com. But dukeforsenate.com is the place to go. And if you can make a contribution, it would be put to great use. And, you know, I was with him in August, and he goes around this, whether it's, you know, Baton Rouge, where they were having the flooding, wherever he went, he was treated like a rock star. Everybody knows him, comes up to him and said, you know, say how much they want to support him. So it's winnable. This is doable, but there's 17 other people running, and you have the full force of the Zionist media out against him. So he certainly needs the support, but this is something that is doable. This is not some quixotic endeavor. This is something that he really could win. He came within, you know, an eyelash of winning the Senate 25 years ago, the governorship. So it's something that could happen. There's so many people who voted for him before who are enthusiastic about the opportunity to vote for him again.
Well, you know, Dr. Duke is so articulate. He's so knowledgeable. I mean, I would love to see him in those debates because, one, he is going to intellectually and most likely politely just mop the floor with his competition because his knowledge is so deep, and his manner and his delivery, I guess would be the word, is just, I mean, it's just spot on. And I urge everyone to donate. Go to dukeforsenate.com. And, you know, not only does Dr. Duke talk the talk, but when it came down to the Andrew Jackson Monument, and I've still got one of the videos on my website, you can look at it and go to YouTube and look at it, and they're probably on his website as well. But, I mean, he went out and really faced a very unruly crowd that was very rude to him. And that's what he will do as a senator. He will fight for the people. So I mean, I would just love, and when I'm on his broadcast, I love to make mention of the fact that don't think about him just winning the election. Think about how much pleasure it will be for 6 years to see him in the Senate. You know, being interviewed by people like Wolf Blitzer and some of the rest of them, where he just makes they're just putty in his hand because he knows the facts, and he's going to shed the light of truth on them. And so it's vitally important. It's vitally important. And I want to urge everyone to go to the website. Also, while I've got you on and we're running out of time, you made mention of it earlier, and I think it is as important as any subject we can cover. If you listen to Hillary Clinton, Tim McCain, and sadly Pence as well, The warmongering with regards to Syria and some of the statements that Putin has put out in the last couple of weeks with regards to the escalation after we bombed the Assad's army. We have got a real situation in Syria if we don't have some competent diplomacy in the executive branch. I mean, your thoughts?
Well, I you're exactly right. And, you know, I often talk about Jewish power or Jewish agenda. And, of course, Jewish power is not a monolith. Sometimes I talk about there being, you know, say, a cunning faction and a crazy faction. The crazy faction certainly has the upper hand now. These are the people who are hell-bent on regime-changing President Putin. And, you know, this goes back to a history where the first President Bush has a certain amount of blame for it, too. But under President Clinton, he sent over these Jewish tribalists like Lawrence Summers, who later became the Secretary of Treasury. People like Lawrence Summers, Jeffrey Sachs from Harvard, Peter Orszag, who was later became Obama's budget director. He sent these people over who cooperated with the local Jews who wound up becoming these Jewish oligarchs, and also international Jewish financiers like George Soros. They took over all of the assets of the country, and during the 90s, they just ran roughshod over the Russian people. The Russian man's life expectancy dropped by 8 years. The population declined. It was a demographic disaster. And Putin took over, and he was supposed to be the Jewish agent when he took over. He was, you know, appointed by Yeltsin, who was completely a Jewish puppet. But the fact is, once Putin came in, as a result of this Chechen conflict, he got a bit of support, and he broke free, for the most part, of these Jewish oligarchs. Some he put in prison, some he drove into exile, and the rest he has an uneasy truce with. But international Jewry in the State Department, in the Defense Department, New York Times, Washington Post, they have it out for him. And this is very alarming. And, of course, they have some collaborators among the Goyim. And so you have been seeing our chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Dunford, and the top army general, who is the chief of staff for the army, a general Miley. And in the past couple of weeks, they've made these really alarming statements. Oh, now, General Dunford, before the Senate, he told the Senate Armed Services Committee, when asked by one of the senators, he said, you know, a no-fly zone over Syria would mean war with Russia. He was very blunt. He said, it's not a decision I can make. But other statements he's made indicated the decision he would support. And certainly Miley's made very, very saber-rattling speeches, not just against Russia, but against China and Iran and North Korea. It's a really dangerous situation we've gotten to. I have a talk with Reverend Mark Dankoff on my YouTube channel from just a couple of days ago, where he goes into much more detail than I can go into right now. But, you know, we're really close to a shooting war with Russia, and this is just insane. And it's driven by this crazy faction. You have what I sometimes call a more cunning faction, and Secretary of State Kerry, who is half Jewish, his father was Jewish, and not somebody who can be trusted, but he negotiated this ceasefire with the Russian foreign minister Lavrov, and the ceasefire was to be in effect for a week during the middle of September, and then at the end of that week, there was supposed to be some intelligence sharing between the U.S. and Russian militaries on, you know, on ISIS. During the ceasefire, the American Defense Secretary Ash Carter and Chief of Staff Dunford, they said that they were against sharing military intelligence information with Russia, that they would not do it. They told this first to the New York Times and then under oath to a Senate committee, which is treasonous. If your commander in chief says we have this ceasefire agreement and then it involves sharing intelligence with the Russians and you refuse to, that's a mutiny. So you have – and of course Obama is such a weakling. Even when he occasionally has an inclination to maybe do the right thing halfway, the people around him are just going to mutiny and rebel, and he has no power. He's just such a weakling, he won't stop them. So you've got basically the Defense Department, the Pentagon, in open rebellion. They're supported by the Jewish media. They're supported by this crazy Jewish faction, the State Department, led by Victoria Nuland. And here we are at the brink of what could be World War III, and all the media talks about is Donald Trump's comments saying he likes kissing women. And oh, therefore, you know, this is the crazy world. So I'm sorry.
ISIS doesn't have an air force. They want to put ISIS a no-fly zone over Syria because Russia's bombing ISIS. ISIS doesn't have an air force. I mean, it's just so insane if you look into it. And also, I wanted to get your comment. You know, Putin, he has put George Soros's open border and these type of groups. He does not allow them in Russia. He calls them nation wreckers, which is exactly what they are. And it seems like that has added more fuel to the fire of demonizing Putin and Russia in the mainstream media, because, you know, the DNC hacks and all this stuff they're blaming on Russia, coinciding with the escalation in Syria. I mean, it is very serious. And this week I watched Lester Holt every night on the evening news, and I didn't get a single bit of news coverage about what's actually happening in Syria other than the propaganda of Aleppo.
And, you know, I don't watch the Lester Holt's news show, but did you see any coverage of, during that ceasefire, the American Air Force bombing the Syrian army and killing several dozen soldiers, wounding hundreds? This is what broke the ceasefire. The American military has admitted they did it. They said, oh, but it was an accident. Well, it was an accident, just like the USS Liberty was an accident. But was there any coverage of that?
No coverage. No. You have to go to like RT.com or websites like that, NewObserverOnline.com, to get any coverage like that. Even Daily Stormer, hats off to Andrew Anglin, he was given better coverage of the riots in Charlotte than WBTV out of Charlotte was giving. It blew my mind. He was ahead of the media in actually from Charlotte, you know. And what kind of
he's doing a great job.
Oh, he's doing a great job. Well, we're almost out of time. I wanted to give you the last word. Anything you'd like to add? And thank you so much for coming on tonight. I know you're really, 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 really busy right now. So I want to thank you for taking time and joining me tonight.
Well, I want to thank you. And you're going to be on the David Duke Show on Monday, as I understand. And I want to thank you for that. And the support you're giving to him, it's really important we get him into the Senate. It's really important we get Trump into the White House, and to have both of them. I mean, to have David Duke trailblazing the truth so that Trump can follow him and doesn't have to be the one to red pill everybody. This would be huge. So please support David Duke for Senate. He'll go to DukeForSenate.com. Please make a contribution, and don't let your friends be fooled. This is crunch time. We've got to win these elections, and beyond the elections, we've got to wake up everybody, because time's really short, and all people need to do is wake up. All they need to do is wake up, because this Jewish power, their power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power. Once we start talking about it, they lose their power. Once we start talking about it, this Jewish media loses all of its influence. Nobody's going to believe it. They're going to say, oh, well, that's just the Jews talking, if they understand. So that's all we have to do. People don't have to put their money into the Jewish banks. We can overcome all of this. All we have to do is know what's going on. You know, earlier in the show, you were talking about them putting people into jail for the slightest things in Europe, where they don't have the freedom of speech amendment. This is what's important. So the elections are crucial. Don't let anybody tell you they're not crucial. But beyond the elections, we have to overthrow the Jewish power. And the way we do it is by talking about it. And I applaud you, Farron, for all that you do, not being afraid to talk about it.
Well, hey, thank you so much. It means a lot to me. Thank you so much. And you're always welcome on this broadcast. I'm going to be talking to you first of the week. I got some ideas how we can maybe work together a little bit more. And I will be on rentsradio.com 11 o'clock on Monday morning. So, hey, thank you so much for that as well.
Thank you very much.
All right, that was Patrick Slattery. I always enjoy his insight, and well, I think we covered a lot of really good topics there. Next hour, we're going to be taking your phone calls, 1-800-313-9443. Back in moments.
To his tent she'll creep, and the stars that shine above. will light their way to love. He ruled this land with sheep, the sheik of Araby. Beep.